All right. We're back from Station ID. We got to do that at the top of every hour. And I'm here with Betty and Megan. I'm sorry, Betty and Dr. Angel today. That was last week, Betty and Megan. And we are talking about the different stages in God. Betty, let's go back to this point here about the importance of that dying to self and what it means, that Jordan River situation.
Well, it's the wonderful way of saying, okay, goodbye to sin, hello to life.
Right, yeah.
It's, again, dying to self, being victorious. You're now walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
That the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now lives in you,
mm-hmm.
that you're able to face things a little bit differently than it did while you were up, but while you were under, Jesus washed away everything, all of your past, everything. You come back up a brand new creature, just as Jesus did when John the Baptist baptized him. He came up and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And the same thing happens to us, that when we're immersed, it's just such a blessing to be able to do that. It's an outward showing of, I want Christ in me. I want to live a Christ-like life. And it's just something that, it's joy, and you know, like that song, it's such joy unspeakable.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
You can't put it into words.
Ooh,
I really cannot put it into words what it's like to be submerged and come back with life. So it's amazing, Pastor and Dr. Angel, and I'm sure that both of you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes,
maybe you can
yes.
put it into better words than I can. But it's just, again, it's for us, just like you had said, it's a place of victory.
It's a place of victory. It's a place where we recognize that we cannot change ourselves. God's spirit within us must do that. And God must prompt us to want to be like him. Talk to us about that, Angel, and then we'll go back to 2 Kings 2 here in a minute. But go ahead, talk about this.
Well, when I think of, you know, dying to ourselves, I think of, we really just change who's on the throne in our life. We take us off of it and put God on it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And so often we are so wanting to hang on to control of our lives. Can you explain that a little further, Angel? Because so many people go, what do you mean? I can't make my own decisions. I mean, can you kind of give them an idea what it's like to have God on the throne of your life, what that means?
Well, having God on the throne in our life means that we give him, we yield our power and our control to him. Yeah, we can make our life decisions, but we consult with him and we pray and we seek his answer first.
Right. And we desire to do what he wants us to do. Our desires change, our motives change. We want to be everything that God wants us to be. And I love this, and it says it so well in 2 Kings 2, verse 9. So when, we got to start with verse 8, okay? Elijah took his cloak. Now, this is the first one, Elijah. Rolled it up and hit the water of Jordan with it. The river divided, and the two men walked through on dry land. Okay, this mantle is symbolic. His robe is symbolic of God's spirit. And so Elijah takes that, and he hits the water with it, and it becomes dry. I mean, you talk about supernatural. It does not say they walk through in knee-deep mud. No, they walked through on dry land. And when they reached the other side, because the Jordan River was not just a little stream, it was a river, it was wide. When they reached the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Ask anything." Which goes back to what I was reading in John 14 a little while ago, is that Jesus says to us, "Ask me what you need, ask, and it shall be done for you." And so Elijah says to Elisha, "Ask me, what is it you want?" And I love his response in verse 9, and I'm going to get both of you to react to this in just a minute before we do the next song. Elisha says, "I want your life repeated in my life. I want to be a holy man just like you. And in the New American Standard and some of the other translations, I want a double portion of the Spirit of God that you have on you. Whoa. Talk to me, angel. Whoa, that's what Elisha wanted, a double portion of what Elijah had.
Well, he knew what he wanted. I like that.
I do too.
And he wanted more of it.
Yes.
I think just the amazing presence of God all over Elijah's life, and he wanted to have that, and that's what we need. We need to find, those people in our life, the human people that are seeking for God and follow, and mentor up with them. And
yes,
because that's what helps us to keep going those distances, to have those spiritual mentors in our life.
Right.
People who are going that distance and are a little bit further in that path. Because once you're watching that constant God working in their life and how it happens, it helps us to not let the distractions in and to keep
that's
seeking
exactly
and
right.
know what we want. So I love that he knew what he wanted. He wanted more of it.
He wanted more of it. In fact, we know from the Word of God that Elijah had 16 miracles credited to his ministry. Elisha, who asked for a double portion, actually had 32. So how about that? Betty, comment on this before we do this next song.
Well, in reading that script, scripture, I wrote down bulldog tenacity.
Woo, bulldog tenacity. I love it. Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is that Elisha wanted to be like Elijah, and he wanted what he had. But I think as we read on, he wanted more of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to be more Christ-like.
Right.
He wanted the love and the commitment that Elijah had.
Right.
But he also wanted the power that came with it. And he knew that if he stayed close to him and he followed him and he did what Elijah had done, that Elisha was going to walk in his footsteps, but Elisha was going to have the power, the same power
right.
that Elijah had. But we have to turn the tables and say, okay, they had it, but can I have it? Yes, people, you can have that same power to do miraculous things here in your own life, and you can also have the ability and the Christ-like appearance to do the same thing in your life.
Right.
And it's so apparent today that we have to realize that we have to have that bulldog tenacity.
Yes.
To stand firm on the things of life that approaches us and keep us off track. So I think the more of Jesus that we want,
right,
the more ability that we have to do that.
And it's all about spending time in his presence. Let this song bless you. Oh, the glory of his presence. Let's praise him together. Worship him with us right now.
We your temple. Give you reverence. So rise to your rest. God.
Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We just give you glory and praise right now. Lord, we do have hearts that want you to be so much in control of our lives, and we just want to have your presence overflowing on the inside of us, God. That is our desire. We want to grow in you. We want to become everything you want us to become. We want to let go of the junk that's hanging around on the inside of us. Let go of those things that are dragging us down, and we just want to be so full of you. We just want your presence in our lives to be so evident to people as they encounter us that they find that they've encountered you. And Lord, that is our prayer this day, and we give you the glory and the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen and amen. You know, Angel and Betty, I think so many people get started with God and a relationship with him, like we said in our first hour, because they want to go to heaven. They don't want to take a chance of going to hell. But there's so little knowledge, it seems, out there with so many people that they can have so much more right here than just a guaranteed salvation, that they can have that friend, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, who walks with us and talks with us and teaches us and makes our life so full and so abundantly full of the presence of God that it changes us and it changes everybody that bumps into us. Talk to me about that, Angel, and then we'll go to Betty on that. Oh, I love it.
Well, you know, I think that you're right. First of all, I think there are a lot of people that are really missing the fullness that they can have, and maybe they just don't realize it's out there. Maybe they think you have to be like this super spiritual person to have that.
Yeah.
Maybe they feel like, oh, I I'm not that perfect. I can't live like that.
It's not like that. It's not perfection.
And it's not about perfection at all. And, you know, I just challenge you, just dig into the scriptures.
Yes.
One of my favorite things I've done is just look at the humanity of the people God used.
Yes.
And how not perfect they were, that he used them anyway to do all his work. And he can use you and he can use me. And there isn't anyone he can't use. He just needs that willing heart. So it's not about, living holy enough or, not having, struggles in life. He uses us with our struggle.
Oh.
And that's what makes it
Amen.
So great.
Amen and amen. And we don't see anywhere in the scripture where Elijah or Elisha or any of these other people, like you said, were perfect. No, they weren't perfect. They had their own issues, but they were walking in faith. That's what Elisha knew, that God had spoken to his heart and said that day, that was the day that God was going to take Elijah away from him. And he was like in all of it. And I think that's another reason he didn't want to talk about it, because he was like, whoa, God, what are you going to do here? And we need to be that expectant on what God is doing and going to do each day when we wake up. What's in store today, Papa? What's going on? What are we going to do? What opportunities? I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I just can't get it off my heart. Every morning, God, what are we going to do today? Let's have some fun. What are we going to do today? Talk to me about that, Betty, because that's where Elisha was. Wow, what are we going to do today, God? Woo!
Well, I think that they came expecting, and they came
Amen.
Wanting.
Yeah.
They came faithful. They came with humility. They came with, again, that bulldog tenacity.
Yeah,
say, okay,
bulldog
God,
tenacity.
I want as much as you as I can possibly
yes.
get.
Yes.
Elisha said, Elisha, I want what you've got.
Amen.
I want it, and I want it double. I want more.
Want
more. And you know what? When we do that in our, in the morning and saying, okay, God, here I am, here's Betty right here. I want to do whatever you want me to do today. I'm going to dedicate this day to you. Now, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go out and minister? Do you want me to do this? You know what's so cool, guys, is that when you don't think that you're capable of doing what God wants you to do, He will put in your way a training session so that you will know, yes, I am, you are exactly where I want you to be. If
a
you're not
session.
Where he wants you to be, he will tell you through his word. And it's just like at work the other day. I had a precious lady ask me a question. And I told her truthfully, you know, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that the word that came out of her was fear.
Yeah. A lot of people are afraid. Yeah. Yeah.
And she didn't understand.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people are that
way. It scared her. And I said, well, once you understand, once you have that feeling of his presence,
mm-hmm.
that you have the presence of the Comforter, that you will understand.
Yeah.
And I think understanding has a lot to do with these scriptures today, that they understood, Elisha understood, he knew, he was prepared, but he doesn't want Elijah to leave, but he
right.
knows that he has to.
Yeah.
And so he's preparing himself. He's gathering as much knowledge and as much as his whole body and his mind and his heart can comprehend and hold, because he knows that he's going away. And he, again, that bulldog tenacity to say, God, I want as, and even with us today, we have that ability to say, okay, God, I want as much of you as I could possibly get. Let me have all of it that I can handle. And you know what he'll do in one of those sudden moments? You're going to be ultimately surprised when someone walks up to you and says, there's something different about you.
Right.
And tell me about it. And then you say, let me tell you about my friend, Jesus Christ. And it happens to all of us.
Yes. Yes. Woo. That's exactly right. And so when Elijah says, what is it you want? Ask anything. Elisha says, I want your life repeated in my life. And he said, I want a double portion. I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah, you know, he just says, well, that's kind of a hard thing. In other words, Elijah couldn't give it to him. We can't give that to somebody. That comes supernaturally from God. A person has to say, Lord, I want to be full of you. I want to be filled to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. I want that realm in you where I know that you're talking to me, where I'm hearing your voice, where I'm feeling your presence. Oh, the glory of your presence that we just played. That's what we need to desire. And a person can't give it to you. We can pray over you for you to be full, filled, overflowing with God's Holy Spirit. But it's God. Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. When we baptize in water, just like the disciples did, we can, any of us here who are believers can baptize in water, and we can take, and we do many times and have through the years at Cornerstone and Beacon, we have taken people down in the water and declared over them that they are coming up a new creation, and all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we're told to do. But when it comes to baptizing someone and filling them up with the Holy Spirit, that is something God does. Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. So Elijah says, well, that's a hard one. I can't do that for you. But he says, if you're watching when I am taken away, and you see me go. Now, I find this very interesting, that it was dropped in Elijah's heart that he wasn't just going to lay down on the ground and die. He knew he was going to be taken up. Now, I don't know about y'all, but one of these days, those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior are going to be taken up with him in the clouds, and we are going to live with him eternally. Even if you've already died, your body will come back together and you will live with him forever. And Elijah says to Elisha, you know what, if you see this when it happens, look out. You know, watch out, because something mighty is going to happen to you. And I think how this applies to us is if we really understand that Jesus Christ is coming back, folks, there's going to be a second coming of Jesus. And the book of Revelation is true. The book of Daniel, so many places that tell us that there is coming a day when Jesus will return and take us with him. And those that have already gone before and died in heaven are coming back. It's just amazing, everything. We don't have time to teach all that. But the truth of it is that we've got to believe that we are going to rise with him one of these days. Angel, do you want to comment on that before I get to the song?
Well, that's the hope that we
yes.
hang on to.
Yes.
And, you know, that's the promise that we're given. And that's one of the supernatural hopes that we do have. And that we will see the people who have gone on before us and
yes.
that have known Christ. And so to me, that's like the big picture of, you know, our hope here on earth. You know, we're getting through and we let Jesus work in us. You know, we get that peace. We have that relationship growing and developing, but ultimately it is to be with him and eternity
yeah.
forever.
Woo! I Will Rise by Chris Tomlin. What a song. Oh, I love this song. Been playing it in my car. Love it.
There's a peace I've come to know.
Amen.
Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is over. On eagle's wings before my God.
I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where, O death, is your victory? Where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you, and always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Yes, as we've been talking, there will come a day when our perishable bodies will put on the imperishable, where our mortal bodies will take on immortality, where death will no longer have any victory over us, and when we will rise. It won't be in the same way that Elijah went to heaven. And let's talk about that. Then I'm going to get back to Betty and to Angel here in just a minute. And so it happened in verse 11 of 2 Kings 2. They were walking along and talking suddenly. And I wanted to get to that word today, but that's going to have to be next week. We're going to really talk about suddenly. Suddenly, a chariot and horses of fire came between them, and Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it all and shouted, my father, you, the chariot, the cavalry of Israel." When he could no longer see anything, he grabbed his robe and ripped it into pieces. And then he picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him. He returned to the shore of the Jordan and stood there. He took Elijah's cloak, all that was left of Elijah, that's all that was left, was his coat. And he hit the water with it, and he said, "Now where is the God of Elijah? Where is he?" And when he struck the water, the river divided, and Elisha walked through it. In other words, God had allowed him to see Elijah go to heaven on a chariot of fire, surrounded by angels. God had opened the heavens so that Elisha could see it. And that double portion of the anointing of God did fall on Elisha. And he did perform so many miracles, as we've been talking about the last several weeks here on in this series, Going the Distance. Oh, my. So talk to me, first Angel and then Betty. Talk to me about all of that and that song, "I Will Rise." Woo!
That is a whole lot.
I know it is.
You know, but it's our hope, and that's what I love. And
yes.
You know, that God just loves us so much, and that when we desire something from him, he desires to give it to us. And
yes.
That's what that whole story of Elisha, you know, he wanted double of what Elijah had, but that closeness and that relationship and all that it meant. And God loved him enough to say, here you go.
Here you go. Yeah.
And we just have to want it. And we have to, you know, desire to have it.
We do. And we got to believe that we can have it, you know, because
absolutely.
He said, if you see me go, then you're going to get it, right? You got to believe. Go ahead with that.
And I just wonder, you know, how long did he have to really wait, you know, and what was the anticipation like, you know, and
wow,
all those things going on, because he knew he wanted it and he was willing to go the distance for it. And
right.
We have to.
Yes. 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 And you know that, and you know, we're in that waiting room right now. And yes, I did talk about it Wednesday night on our Facebook Live post. And if some of you haven't caught that yet, go to Facebook and go to hashtag unchangeable. That is last Wednesday night's Facebook foot post. About 15 minutes of teaching from Bible study. The week before was hashtag God of Miracles. So you can go and catch some of our posts. And I was talking about the fact that so often we are in God's waiting room for a period of time, but we should be waiting with expectancy. You know, we should be waiting because we know something's coming. Talk to us, Betty.
Whoa, I've just taken all this in. I think one of the things that the Lord did in that circumstance was to demonstrate his power.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And to
absolutely
motivate, to motivate and to bear testimony that he is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we realize that life is fragile. Life is what is, we can have that life and have it more abundantly through Jesus Christ.
Right.
And one of the things that we need to realize is that God can work miraculous events in your life,
right,
in my life,
yes,
in Dr. Angel's life.
Yeah.
And we just have to believe that, that realizes that the trials and the circumstances we're going through are eventually going to be our testimonies to say that that power that God has, that that took Elijah out on a chariot, which still to this day just absolutely,
isn't that great?
Woo! I mean, it's just like him to do something in instant, and I'm sure you're going to talk about that next week, but it's just instantaneously that it's like, see ya. And
right,
that's how it is for us.
Right.
And that we have to be prepared. We have to be, for lack of a vocabulary word, we have to be totally sold out.
Yes, yes.
We have to be willing to
right,
say, okay, God, I did that yesterday, but I know you've forgiven me, so whatever you want in my life, I'm ready. I'm willing to say, okay, God, I'm here. Use me.
You know, absolutely. And doesn't it make you wonder with that you're talking about willingness to do what God has laid out for us in our, each day and from now until when we go to heaven, right? That willingness to be what he wants us to be. Isn't that what I hear you saying?
Yes, because we have, and we talked about this in the first hour, Dr. Angel did, about our choice.
Right.
Our free will is, I want to be all God wants me to be. Yeah, sure. There is no way that I'm perfect. I will never be perfect until I see Jesus face to face.
Right.
And one of the things that we have to remember is that we have to be willing to say, without fear, without reservation, okay, God, I am totally trusting in you today. I mean, this should be the prayer of every person that before their feet hit the floor. Okay, God, I'm dedicating this day to you because I want to take all of me out, have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to say, okay, God, this is your day. This is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And sometimes it's hard. It's not easy, but if we're willing to make that commitment and to have that personal relationship with Jesus, it makes life just a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. It's that willingness he's looking for. He's looking for attitudes in us that says, okay, God, I don't have any idea what's coming next, even today, but I know that I can trust you to take me by the hand and I'll take your hand and we're just going to get through it. And whatever comes and you've got the plan and I want to be on board with the plan. And when that's our attitude, I don't you wonder what Elijah was thinking? Because obviously God had let the prophets in on it and let Elisha in on it, that Elijah was leaving that day. He was going to heaven. Now, they didn't know that. I don't think they knew that a chariot with angels and fire were going to come and horses and take him away. I don't think they knew because I'm sure none of them had ever seen that before. It would have been written down that they had seen that before. But they had an expectancy. God had dropped the seed in their hearts. This is going to happen. And they were waiting. Talk to me about that, Angel. What that area that God wants us, as we talked about the other night on Facebook, that God wants us to be in his waiting room with expectancy that good things are going to happen, that the unchangeable God, the God who is working a work in us, is going to be working on us in the waiting room.
Oh, yeah, the waiting room. Well, you know, and I think a lot of times when we think about the waiting room, it just has such a negative kind of feeling. But, I don't want to think of it as a waiting room. It's kind of like waiting for Christmas, you know? You know this good is going to happen.
Yeah, right,
and
yeah.
Every day you're thinking about it. You're checking it out. You know, kids with Christmas, that's the anticipation we need to be having.
Right.
When it comes to the waiting room with God, because he's going to come through. He says he's never going to fail us. He's never going to leave us.
Right.
He's going to be with us. So we know he's coming through. How is it going to happen? That's the exciting thing. And what's happening to me while I'm waiting for it is that I'm growing and my faith is growing. And I'm getting, you know, so much more maturity in my relationship that by the time Christmas comes, it's like, oh, this blessing and this miracle is here and it's been amazing. But, you know, that waiting room can be a great time of growth and opportunity.
Absolutely it can. And I find that very fascinating here with Elisha, that he waited all day long to see what was going to happen. So did Elijah. And they both knew God was going to do something and take Elijah away. But the anticipation was growing as they went from one place to the next, which is just like in our Christian walk. When we go from one level to the next, and when we receive salvation, praise God, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. And then when we begin to realize that we can be the house of God, that Bethel place where he comes and lives on the inside of us. And then when we realize that greater things than he did we can do, because he's gone to the Father. So he's going to show us the things on a daily basis, and we begin to walk in victory, more victory than defeat. And we walk in that Jericho time, and then we realize that we got to let go of the yuck in our lives, the death things, the things that drag us down, so that we can have new life. And then we anticipate joyfully his return. Oh, talk to me about that, Betty, before I play this song. Oh, love it. There's so much here we could talk about for hours about all this.
Yeah, I know. Next week should be part two.
I know. There's so much. Yeah.
But, you know, listening to both of you talk has just really blessed me, because we need to ask ourselves this question. Do you want to be like Elijah, seeking to be a blessing to others and used of God throughout my life to the end? Do we want to be like Elijah, truly committed to the Lord? Man, no matter what the calling may be, it'd be according to my gifts and the needs of my family and my church.
Right.
Am I loyal? Am I committed?
Right.
Under all circumstances. Am I a servant? Am I a disciple? Am I who you want me to be? Lord, I am willing to accept your assignment, whether it means me cleaning toilets or if you want me out preaching your word to the people on the street. Where do you want me? And I think that through all of this today, guys, is that God wants us to be committed.
Yes, yes, yes.
Truly, truly committed and sold out to the point where, you know, we are working diligently. We are working lovingly. We are showing people Christ through us. Mm-hmm. Are we letting our light shine?
Yes.
And it's simplistic, but yet some of us make it very complicated in our way of thinking of, well, God can't use me there. I could never be an Elijah or an Elisha. Yes, you can. Again, it's that bulldog tenacity.
Yeah.
It's the ability to trudge forward. It's the ability to push on, press on.
Yeah.
Stand firm, and don't be, I can't say this the way it's written in the Bible, but don't be swayed by every wind of doctrine.
Right.
Don't let a slight wind blow you off course.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
We can't let that happen.
Amen.
And that's the standing firm and the pushing on, pressing on towards the goal, winning the race, until we see Jesus face to face. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, is to get there and have him look at you and say, well done, my kind and faithful servant.
Amen. Amen. That's what it's about. Angel, do you want to comment on that before we go to this song?
Well, I just really enjoy listening to everything and to hearing this, and just reminds me to just keep pushing forward.
Yes, doesn't
not
it?
Not let those distractions, you know, interfere, and it's easy to happen, and just, he wants to give us good things and keep pressing in.
Which brings me, amen, which brings me to this song by Chris Tomlin, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
All the way my Savior leads me.
Amen.
Who have I to ask beside? Could I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me, and cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart, and sure Jesus, let Savior leads me.
Amen. God led Elijah and Elisha on that very important day that we've been talking about today in 2 Kings 2. All the way my Savior leads me, it's a matter of letting him lead us. And it's a matter of us following and really desiring to grow in God. Going the distance with God involves growth and development. It involves times in our lives where things don't work out maybe the way we think they should, but we have to learn to trust God that he knows best in our situation. You know, it's going the distance means I'm not going to give up when things are going tough or when I've had a rough week or two or month or year. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I am going to keep on trusting God. I'm going to keep on reading the word. I'm going to keep on praising God. I'm going to hang in there for the duration because I know that I am growing in God, even though I don't feel like it sometimes. Talk to me, Angel, and then we'll go to Betty for all that.
And that's our hope and faith. And,
yeah,
you know, God says, you know, just ask, seek, and knock. And
right.
Right there. And it all depends on our free will and our willingness to push in and push forward.
Absolutely. And not give up, you know, when it's hard, you know. I think that that's the problem, and I think that's the beauty of this series we've been in, Going the Distance, that we've been able to see people in action in the Bible, and then we've talked about it in our own lives from the last several weeks since the new year began, about how important it is to have that bulldog tenacity that, Betty, you're talking about, how important it is to persevere and hang in there, how important it is to learn what we need to learn in the waiting room, and to expect God to answer and expect God to move in our situation, and not to give up and not to turn around and be faint-hearted and be cowardly, but be strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's got to be where we're coming from. God, I know in my own strength I can't do it, but because of you and who you are and what you're doing on the inside of me, I'm going to go the distance with you. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, what you're talking about is the spirit of the living God. That's
Amen.
What he wants for all of us. And one of the things that, well, that song was playing, and I love Chris Tomlin.
I do too.
Is I was reading in my Jesus Calling book from Habakkuk that I'm singing, I'm singing joyful praise to God.
Right.
I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God. Counting on God's rule to prevail, I take heart and gain strength.
Yes.
I run like a deer. I feel like I'm king of the mountain.
I love that, the Message Bible. That's really good.
And that's the message. That's in Habakkuk 3, verse 19.
Yeah.
And it blesses me to know that I have a Savior that no matter what I'm going through, no matter the difficulties that I feel in life, that sometimes I feel like, you know, life is closing in on me. And I just, we have to break free of that feeling and spend time with God.
Amen.
And you can spend time with God, you know, before you lay your head down, before you get up in the morning, any free time that you have, you can spend time with God. And
Amen.
Once you develop that personal relationship with him,
yes.
it's like me and talking to you and Dr. Angel. You know, I feel comfortable talking to you because God doesn't judge us for what we
Amen.
Say. I am not one that stands on a street corner and tries to, you know, talk big words. I'm just plain and simple, and that's how God wants you to talk to him.
Amen.
Plain and simple. And let him be, stand in his light.
Amen.
Stand in his presence and watch what he can do, because he can do mighty things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen. We can. Woo! Angel, you have a comment on that?
I just have to say, I love doing this show and being a part of this.
Do you?
Every
right.
time I am, I do. And every time I am, it speaks to me. I'm hoping that it also speaks to others, and just keep keep pressing in. And
amen. Amen.
Don't lose sight and don't give up.
Don't give up.
Easy.
That's right.
Don't give up.
In fact, Angel, and then I'll give Betty an opportunity, talk to our audience about what we're doing on Wednesday night with these Facebook posts and why we're doing it. Could you do that, Angel? And then,
sure. You know, Wednesday night during our Bible study gathering, we've been going on Facebook Live. Pastors been going on Facebook Live and giving about a 12 to 15 minute part of our message that we've been doing and delving deeper in and taking this concept in a really life, just applying it into everyday life. That's one of the things I love about the Facebook post. It just totally relates to everyday life and what you're going through or what you're not going through, or how this can apply, or how amazing God is at the end of the day is really what they all come down to. But
that's true.
So applicable right in the here and the now and the everyday.
Right.
And I love that it's short, but really great, succinct, to the point, and just super helpful. Last Wednesday night, I took a whole bunch of notes just off of that because it was just such a blessing.
It's really cool. I mean, God just dropped that in my heart back in January, and our first one was January 8th. You can go to my post, Marcia McAllister, or you can go to the hashtags that we are now starting to use, and we have been the last couple weeks. 2 weeks ago, hashtag God of Miracles, and this past week, hashtag Unchangeable. And you can find it. It comes right up. I checked it today to make sure it does, and it does. So you can see these posts. They're, like Angel said, 12 to 15 minutes. And Betty, do you want to comment on that and invite people to listen? And then, Angel, I'm going to give you a final thought here in just a second, get it from you. But go ahead, Betty.
Well, I think that our lives are so microwavable. We want it, you know, give it to me quickly because I haven't got time to listen because I've got to do this, this, and this. And I think that once they hear that in just 12 minutes, how God can change your life or the circumstances that you're in, and this through social media can reach much more people than what other ways that we can through reading or through letters or through, ministry through what am I trying to say?
Right.
For lack of a better word, this gets out to more people than what we can reach.
Absolutely.
Through other mediums, and it's amazing. I suggest that you do the hashtag Unchangeable first, because I think that will explain to you exactly what you need to hear. Especially if you know that you're waiting for something and it just hasn't quite come yet, Pastor Marcia can explain it to you through God's word.
Praise God. So catch it. And you can join our live audience on Facebook every Wednesday night, right down this time, 7:30 p.m. every Wednesday night. And right on that time, we come on live. So try to join us. You each have about 40 seconds to give us a final thought. Go ahead, Angel, you first.
Final thought, no matter where you are in life and what's going on, God's got one amazing things for us, and he is like a big father just waiting to give us his gifts and his spiritual blessings. We just need to reach out to him, and we don't have to be a spiritual giant to do so, just an everyday person.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Angel Falzone. We appreciate your ministry so much. Catch Dr. Angel and I this Thursday night at 6:06 p.m. on Go Yard. That's our life coaching show. About hitting home runs in life and not letting life get you. So thank you, Dr. Angel. Betty, you want to give us a final thought here?
Mm-hmm. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten
Amen.
Son. So that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
I wish everyone this week to have the life that God wants you to have. And God loves you, and so do we.
Amen. So true. Thank you, Betty. Thank you, Dr. Angel. It's been a great day. You can listen to this show again. It'll be up on our podcast right here at www.tantalknetwork.com. It'll be up probably very soon tonight, and you can listen to it again. And also go to our website, bohmglobal.com, to listen to hundreds of our radio shows. And join us again next Sunday afternoon. We will be right here at 3 o'clock live on the air, as we have been for almost 10 years. And you're going to join us, we hope, on our special 10-year anniversary show on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. 10 years right here on Living the Good Life. God bless every one of you. Use our prayer line, prayers at bohmglobal.com. And join us next week on Living the Good Life. This has been Pastor Marcia, Betty, and Angel bringing you the Word of God today. God bless you and have a great week. It's not far.